In discussions of the Christian tradition of monologistic prayer, the rosary often receives rather short shrift. It tends to be regarded as a kind of praying that involves a phrase that is too long to qualify as monologistic prayer, and the fact that it also is a very cataphatic kind of meditation, a meditation that specifically, in its present form, emphasizes particular mysteries that change according to the liturgical season or the day of the week, or now even according to the preference of the individual, whether or not they use particular categories of mysteries. And indeed, there are variations even within the classical tradition of exactly which mysteries are used. All of this has conspired to mean that in classical discussions of monologistic prayer, the rosary tends not to be very much emphasized. It is regarded as something other than what one is looking at when one looks at, say, what Cashin describes in the 10th conference and what one finds in the early development of the Jesus Prayer. If we look at the history of the development of the rosary, we'll see that this rather dismissive attitude is quite inappropriate. As we'll see in Cashin's 9th conference, and as we've already hinted, the place of the Our Father in Christian prayer is very well attested, and not only in regular use in what will become the Liturgy of the Hours, but even itself becomes a kind of prayer phrase or prayer word that is used in a repetitious fashion, particularly in the Middle Ages. And one of the reasons for this development is listed in section 1, and I should mention that a good portion of this page is adapted from the article on the history of the rosary in the 1920 Catholic Encyclopedia, which contains quite a lot of good information in this particular area. One of the origins of the tradition of using the whole Our Father in a regular and ongoing way seems to have been the idea that for those who could not memorize the Psalter, that one could instead pray the Our Father instead of a psalm. And thus, lay brothers, people who were members of monastic communities but not obliged to the choir office, they could use multiple repetitions of the Our Father as their particular form of prayer rather than using a memorized Psalter. And in particular, this would apply on occasions when it was the norm, when it was the expected practice, to offer up a specific number of psalms as prayer for the soul of someone who had died. And so 150 repetitions of the Our Father became regarded as an acceptable or reasonable alternative to praying the 350s, the three groups of 50 psalms, which particularly in the Irish tradition was a way of referring to the whole Psalter. And indeed, the practice of offering the 350s would sometimes be used in penitential practice for those who had committed a grave sins, often prayed or encouraged to be prayed by the person who had committed the sin, but sometimes in a kind of a commuted sort of way, someone else would offer to pray for them, to lift them up to God in prayer. And so there would be a kind of a mystical exchange through being prayed for by someone who was also offering you spiritual consolation. And that person would pray psalms, or they could use repetitions of the Lord's Prayer. And in fact, the medieval portraiture and images that are very frequently seen, particularly from the about the 14th century up till really the 16th century, of people who seem to be holding what we suspect is probably what looks to us like a rosary, are probably people who are holding what was called a paternoster. And if you drop down a little bit on the page, you can see a medieval paternosterer, someone who made these chains of beads or chains of knots. And they were for the purpose of keeping track of the number of times that you had prayed the Our Father. And there's a woodcut on the right from the late 15th, early 16th century, showing on the left-hand side the saved, the elect, and notice that quite a few of them are praying with these paternosters. They're not actually rosaries, they're paternosters. Now, beginning perhaps in the 12th century, the Ave Maria, or a shortened version of the Hail Mary that is currently used in the Rosary, was becoming very popular and used together with the Our Father, and in some cases in place of it. Some people would pray 50 or 100 or 150 Ave Marias rather than the Lord's prayers. And this was popularized. It was certainly known in Dominican circles, but the legend of Saint Dominic creating the Rosary or receiving it as a revelation and then somehow preaching about it is entirely mythological. Certainly the practice of praying Hail Marys or Our Fathers or a mixture of both was extremely widespread by the time of Saint Dominic's life, and there's a particular mention in Saint Albert, one of Dominic's disciples and very famous teacher in the Dominican order, who is described in a way very similar to what you find in biographies of Byzantine, of Eastern Church monks who are using the Jesus Prayer. 100 times a day he bent his knee and 50 times he prostrated himself while he repeated it ever genuflection. And here it's said that he used a slightly more extended form of the Hail Mary than we know was common. In an early form, probably the Hail Mary simply consisted of the prayer, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. But St. Albert is described as adding to that, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And so there's a gradual lengthening of the Hail Mary. Now, interestingly, this parallels a lengthening of the Jesus Prayer in the hesychastic tradition. We've already noted that the classical form of it, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, is usually extended to have mercy on me, a sinner, or the sinner. But there seem to have been earlier forms of it that were considerably briefer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. So just as there were variant forms of the Jesus Prayer in the East, so there were various forms of the Hail Mary in the West, and in its early form, the use of the Hail Mary, using beads or paternosters, perhaps intertwining Our Fathers and Hail Marys, may well have been with a shorter form than we have today. So in its original form, there is the openness to and perhaps even the widespread use of a shortened form of the Hail Mary, which would certainly have been a very legitimate monologistic kind of prayer. That is to say, it's no more syllables than you find in other recommended forms of monologistic prayer, such as Cassian recommended in the early 5th century. And in the early form of its practice and recitation, certainly as St. Albert is described having prayed it, there is no specific requirement of visualizing or meditating on particular mysteries. It is not associated with a sequential reflection on different aspects of Christian theology or salvation history. That develops later. And in fact, it develops in correspondence to relationship with the development of the Devotio Moderna, the late medieval new modern spirituality, which was very systematic in its approach to faith, which did emphasize spiritual exercises and very specific forms of meditation. And in that era, particularly in the 14th and 15th centuries, there was a strong emphasis on the specific meditation on particular aspects of the faith. And so it's not surprising that what you would call the current form of the Rosary arises or develops during this period, during the 15th century. Alain de Rupa seems to have been the Dominican who very widely popularized the idea of meditating on particular mysteries for particular lengths of recitation, with the Hail Mary having been extended to its present length. And he also seems to have been the one who popularized the myth that this form of praying was attributable to Saint Dominic several centuries before. Well, that's not true. And so in the modern form of the Rosary, of course, as we know, there are a series of different kinds of meditation that are used. Up until relatively recent, the three classical ones were the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious mysteries. Pope John Paul added the luminous mysteries, which has been a source of rejoicing to some and a source of perplexity to others who somehow feel that this is inappropriate, that we should take an ancient tradition and modify or adapt it. But in reality, as we've seen, this form of prayer is itself the result of development and adaptation. And although it's true that in its present form, it is very cataphatic. It emphasizes the use of reflection on particular events from the life of Jesus and the life of Mary, and also events that are particularly important liturgically and because of their significance in the understanding of salvation. It tends to be very cataphatic, and yet it has as its origins a tradition which is very analogous to, extremely similar to, what we will see when we look at the development of the hesychastic tradition in the East.